What an honor it is to be here today to talk to you about the greatest activity known to mankind, one that has inspired and impacted people of all ages for many years. And no, it's not baseball. We're talking about sharing the gospel. Can I get an amen?
Amen,
amen. Yes. A baseball tradition for many years has been for spectators to use a scorecard to keep a record of the action taking place on the field. And so in your bulletins, you have an insert. This is going to be your sermon scorecard this morning. You can take notes on that and follow along. And just as players need to warm up before the game by playing catch and swinging bats, before we hear about the gospel, we need to warm up our hearts and our minds with a word of prayer. So let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for each person who is hearing this message. By the power of the Holy Spirit, help us to focus on what is being shared. We ask that you would plant and water the seeds of your word within our hearts and then cause those seeds to grow. Thank you, Lord, for hearing these prayers and for how you are going to answer them. May all be done to the glory of your name. Amen. Just like a player needs to take a reliable glove onto the field, as Christians, we need to take an even more reliable gospel into the world. To do this, I'm now going to enlist the help of my gospel glove, or sometimes it's called the good news glove. This is not original with me. I actually saw a track years ago when I was a kid, and maybe some of you remember it as well. But there's five colors: yellow, black, red, white, and green. And all five colors are symbolic of truths about the gospel. During the course of today's sermon, illustrations from the game of baseball will be used as a way to help understand the truths of the gospel. Pastor Brian has said that illustrations are windows of a house that let the light of understanding in. I really like that. Hopefully and prayerfully, the illustrations that will be shared during the sermon this morning will help shed light on the truths of the Bible as it pertains to the salvation of a person's soul. And what better and more perfect light to help us do that than the light that we read about in God's Word found in John 8:12. And Jesus spoke to them saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." The first color of our gospel glove is yellow. Yellow starts with Y. That means yay. And yay means play. Some of my best memories while growing up involved playing baseball. And probably the most unique part about our baseball games was that we played on our church cemetery across from our farm. Half the cemetery was covered with tombstones. The other half was open area, just the right size for a baseball field. And yes, we did get permission from our priest ahead of time to do this. Whenever we had free time between farm chores and field work, me, my brothers, and the neighbor kids would congregate on the cemetery, choose teams, and play baseball until it got too dark to see the ball. And then we'd go play, and this is true, we'd go play hide and seek behind the headstones after that. Baseball definitely brought yay or fun into my life. My religious upbringing also involved being taught the tenets of the faith, and that included the belief in a heaven and a hell. And because our family took care of the upkeep of the cemetery that we played ball on, spending so much time around all those gravestones made it a constant reminder that, just as baseball games end, eventually one day life ends as well. As a result, my life seemed to be one of keeping score to make sure that my final scorecard recorded more good deeds than bad. Because when passing from this life, I wanted to be able to experience the ultimate yay in heaven. And who wouldn't want to go to heaven? Because the Bible tells us about heaven. In 1 Corinthians 2, it says, "But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him." And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it states, "So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. But as awesome, as truly awesome as the description is about heaven, the most exciting part about it is that we will be living eternally in the presence of Jesus Christ. Revelations 1:16 says, "In his right hand he held seven stars. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in full strength." Can we even begin to imagine what that experience will be like when we are in heaven in the presence of the resurrected Christ? At this stage of the sermon, we need to say, "Time!" like an umpire will say in a ball game, and that's because we have a problem. Check your sermon scorecard at this time. This leads to the second finger of the gospel glove. Black begins with B, and B is for bad. This is true about baseball. The game requires many skill sets: throwing, catching, running, sliding, hitting. The players attempt to reach a standard of consistently doing things right. They have goals of making good plays. But even major leaguers will occasionally drop a ball or make a bad throw. They do not do this on purpose. It just happens because they are human. Outs and errors are part of the game. And when a pitcher makes a bad pitch to a batter, it's called a mistake. This point was driven home to me at a baseball clinic while listening to a former major league pitcher, Ryan Durham, who shared the story that as a young pro, he was instructed in practice to throw a pitch outside. So he wound up and threw a pitch what he thought was outside. But the coach says, "No, no, no." And then the coach proceeded to demonstrate how it was done. He threw a baseball so far outside the catcher almost didn't catch it. Then the coach told him, "Now throw a high pitch." And when he thought he did, the coach again says, "No, no, no, throw it like this." And the coach threw it over the catcher's head all the way to the back screen behind home plate. The lesson being taught by the coach that was when the pitcher is trying to strike out a batter, the mark that the pitcher is trying to hit is not right down the middle. Instead, the mark or goal is to hit the edges or corners of the strike zone. If a pitcher misses those edges or corners and the ball ends up right down the middle of the plate, hitters then can fully extend their arms, get the most power behind their swings, and bad things can happen for the pitcher. Either it's going to be hit out of the park or come back at you twice as fast as you threw it. This is true about the gospel. When we break God's rules according to the Bible, it's called sin. Sin literally means to miss the mark. Because we miss the mark of God's standards, we are not able to live eternally with a holy God in his perfect heaven. But no matter how hard we try, the scoreboard of life shows us that that is impossible because, as in Romans 3:23 tells us, you're all very familiar with this, or many of you are, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." We may even have the best of intentions to do the right things in life, but speaking through the power of the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul puts it this way: "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. For I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So it is no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me." I've made my share of mistakes in life on and off the baseball field. But probably my most memorable baseball gaffe was during a high school game. I got lucky one time and hit a deep fly ball to the outfield. As I watched the fielders collide and the ball fall against the fence, I sprinted around first. I took off past second, came into third base, stood up, safe, or so I thought. Because I looked around me and here comes my teammate running behind me. It's like, "Billy, what are you doing here?" Well, can you guess what happened? After I hit the ball, I'm rounding first. I'm watching to see if they're going to catch it. In the meantime, Billy has to make sure that it's not caught so he doesn't get doubled off first base. Ran right past him, got to third base. Believe me, I didn't live that one down for a while. The players are coaches. Now, you could say that it was an unintentional play on my part. I could have even pleaded with the umpire saying it was an honest mistake and promised never to do it again. And guess what? The umpire could have even sympathized with me. But what's the result? I'm still out because the rules say you cannot pass a runner in front of you. There was no getting around it. I broke the rules. I suffered the consequences. This is true about the gospel. Just as there are consequences for missing the mark in baseball, whether intentional or not, there are also consequences for missing the mark in life. The Bible tells us, for the wages of sin is death. This means spiritual death and separation from an eternity with God. Paul realizes this when he says, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" But there is good news, which brings us to the third finger of the gospel glove. Again, you can check your sermon scorecards. Red equals redeemed through blood. Sometimes the concept of giving of one's blood, sweat, and tears for the team is exemplified literally, as in the case of Boston Red Sox pitcher Curt Schilling, who happens to be a believer. Pitching in a playoff game after surgery for a foot injury, this picture shows his bloody sock, which was the result of stitches pressing against a tendon in his foot. Baseball fans across the country witnessed his gutsy performance as he pitched his team to victory, virtually bringing them back from the dead, where they eventually went on to win the World Series. And so in a way, you could say that Curt Schilling helped redeem his team. This is true about the gospel. After the Apostle Paul had asked, "Who will deliver me from this body of death?" he answers his own question. "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." While Curt Schilling shed a small amount of blood in his efforts to help save or redeem his team, God has provided the solution for our sin problem when Jesus Christ shed much more blood for the sins of the world. Isaiah 53:5 tells us, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed." Jesus Christ gave of his blood when the Roman soldiers tore open his back when whipping him, and when he had the crown of thorns pushed onto his head, when he was held on the cross by the nails that went through his wrist and his feet. Ephesians 1:7 says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight." Why did God in the person of Jesus Christ do this for us? Because he loves us, and he wants us to experience eternal life with him as members of his eternity team. The Bible verse that's so beloved by many, John 3:16, states, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." We also read in Romans 5, "For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God." This is true about baseball. Sometimes for a player to get on a team, they need to be good enough. They need to earn their position through hard work and effort. Did you notice the words I used? Good enough, earn, work, effort. This implies that something has to be done on the part of the player to prove that the skills he possesses would either offer value in helping the team or not. Well, this is true about the gospel. We cannot earn a spot on the roster of God's eternity team. It only is given as a gift to those who are willing to accept it by faith. Ephesians 2:8 and 9, another familiar portion of Scripture says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast." In baseball, if a team wants a player on their roster, a contract will be offered, which can either be accepted or rejected by that player. By signing the contract, he is saying, "Yes, I want to be a part of this team." And it officially makes him a member of that team. Regarding the gospel, God's contract that he offers us is only possible because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. It is literally a gift from God that can also be accepted or rejected. Jesus Christ signed your eternity team contract in advance for you with his shed blood. Now you have a choice to either accept it or reject it. This contract he's given to you is there for the offering. God does not force us to accept this contract for the salvation which he does offer us. It's totally your free choice. Always has been, always will be throughout history for all mankind. Some of you hearing this sermon have already accepted this contract offer from God and you're already on God's eternity team. But if you don't know or you're unsure, how then is this accomplished? It begins by coming to Jesus Christ with a humble and repentant heart, admitting that you have made errors and mistakes in the game of life, acknowledge that you have missed the mark, and are a sinner who cannot earn your way to heaven or save yourself by your own efforts or works. A person needs to turn to Jesus Christ by faith and believe that he died on the cross for all your sins, and then receive these truths into your heart. John 1, 12, and 13 reads like this, "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." We now need to take time to think about these truths that we've heard from God's word. You need to ask yourself, are they true or not? But you are the one who has to ultimately decide. Matthew 16:26 says, "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul?" This is serious business because it is the most important decision you will ever make. And your decision counts for eternity. It determines the destiny of your soul. Regarding this topic of what it requires for a person to be saved, the Bible asks the question, but what does it say? And we read the response, "The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart." That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Let's now take a moment to pray about these things that we've been hearing from God's word, the Bible. Please bow your heads and your hearts and hear this prayer as it relates to your own beliefs. And keep in mind that they are only words if your heart, your own heart, is not being spoken to by the Holy Spirit. If it is going to be your prayer, allow the Holy Spirit to make this your prayer. Beautiful Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thank you for the truth that we hear from your word that tells us, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." I acknowledge that I am a sinner who cannot save myself, so I am claiming your truths and calling on your name to save me. I do believe, Jesus, that you died for my sins, and I confess with my mouth that you are Lord. I believe in my heart that you, Heavenly Father, raised Jesus Christ from the dead. I claim the promise that because of these truths, I am now saved and on your eternity team. I believe and receive these truths into my heart as I thank you and praise you for doing these things. Thank you for moving my heart to believe and receive these truths, and I offer up this prayer to the glory of your name. Amen. When a person becomes a Christian, it doesn't end there with this prayer. As a Christian, you can now continue in the game of life with new joy and purpose. And that is because, along with the gift of salvation, giving us this new position on God's eternity team, we are also made new creatures in Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, we read, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." We also read in 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20 that we are new creatures because of the Holy Spirit that now dwells within us. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. And because we have the Holy Spirit, that is proof that we are his children. Romans 14 says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God." And Galatians 3:26 states, "For in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith." As children of God, we also receive additional blessings as well. Which brings us to the fourth finger, our gospel glove. White equals winners. As sports fans, we personally identify with teams we cheer for. When our teams are successful, that makes us feel like winners. This is true about the gospel. Christians are also winners. That is because we are victorious because he is victorious. 1 Corinthians 15:57, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, and that makes us the ultimate winners because we are now cleansed of all our sins, going from the blackest of blacks to the whitest of whites. Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool." And in 2 Corinthians 5:21, we also read, "For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. His death on the cross made our hearts white with God, which also makes our hearts right with God." A great assurance. This is another blessing. A great assurance for baseball players in this secular world that we live in here is that they can negotiate for no-cut contracts. They have the assurance of a guaranteed spot on the roster and that full payment of their contract money, no matter how they play. And even if they do not play because maybe they're injured. As Christians, we have our own no-cut guaranteed contract as well. Listen to the words of Jesus. "I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." And we also read this promise in 1 John 5. "And this is the testimony that God gives us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." What a wonderful promise that is. The first four fingers of the gospel glove involve getting on the team. Okay, you have to be on the team. This being on the team secures our position in Christ. The fifth and final finger deals with getting in the game, and this deals with the practice of our faith. Green equals grow, go, and glow. Just as baseball players have a responsibility to grow by giving their best to try and get better for the success of the team, as it pertains to our own faith, we are commanded to give our best to try and grow as Christians. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. The Bible also says, "Whatever you do, do your work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ." Green also means to go. As with any sport, there comes a time when a team needs to take what they've been doing to get better as players in practice, and then apply it to the actual game itself. That's what makes sports fun. Players want to be in the game and competing. And as a coach over the years, that's so true. Some kids like to practice, but most of them like to play those games, like we all do. As it relates to the gospel, we are commanded as Christians to go and compete in the game of life, which includes sharing the gospel wherever God places us. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." And finally, green on our gospel glove leads to a life where we are commanded to glow for him. A baseball coach does not want a player just taking up space on the field when in the game. He wants that player to contribute and make a difference when competing. We as Christians are commanded by our head coach, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to contribute and make positive differences in our spheres of influence. Jesus also said this, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Remember the verse shared earlier about Jesus being the light of the world? Because we are in Christ, we are told by Jesus himself that we have his power within us to be lights in the world as well. That's an awesome thought and truth that we should all embrace. What about you? As a Christian, are you just sitting on the bench by watching others compete? 2 Corinthians 13:5 challenges us by saying, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Christ Jesus is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test? In summary, as it pertains to the green finger of the gospel glove, get better, get in the game, and make a positive and fruitful difference, all by his power and to the glory of his name. This includes intentionally praying for and looking for opportunities to share our faith with others. Recently, I discovered a way to focus on sharing the gospel by combining baseball and the gospel. And I had to hide these from my grandkids this week after I got them because they like to wear these right here. I was recently to a baseball game up in the cities, and I had to buy myself a pair of Minnesota Twins wristbands. It's hard to find the TC wristbands. If you go to a sporting goods store, they just got Twins, but I wanted a couple of these, and I saw them there at the souvenir stands. I got to have those, and I got those. And the reason I did that is all of us need ways to be reminded as to how to live out our faith. And for myself, these TC wristbands, and for some of you the people that might not be baseball fans, TC stands for Twin Cities. And that, for me, when I look at it, it means totally committed to Christ. Now, if that doesn't want to make you a Twins fan, I don't know what. Totally committed to Christ. I shared this with Pastor George, and he says, I'll never look at these ever the same way again, he says, when he sees those. So. May I share one more example of how you may want to combine baseball and the gospel as a way to share God's truths with young and old alike? You can just change the words to this iconic tune that we used to open up the sermon. Are you ready? It's found in your insert, your sermon scorecard as well. This is my prayer that you'll take mankind to the Savior. Take each one to the Lord. Share the forgiveness that Jesus gives. Take as his gift and forever you'll live. Just say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I trust Christ paid for it all. Just believe and receive. That's all you need. Now we pray you make the right call. Whatever it takes. Okay, whatever it takes. By the way, that's not copyrighted. So I encourage you to use that with kids, grandkids, whoever. That would be wonderful. I want to share just this final thing. Several days ago, while warming up at our family camp for staff versus campers, the staff versus campers softball game, one of the full-time staffers at Forest Springs noticed me with my gospel glove. This is just 2 days ago. Getting ready to play this game up at camp. And did he ever get excited when he saw this? He went on to tell me that in 1981, his dad sat both him and his brother on the family couch and proceeded to share the gospel glove track with them. He was both animated and smiling from ear to ear the entire time he was sharing this with me. And he told me that when his mom got home, he met her and says, Mommy, Mommy, I asked Jesus into my heart. I'm like, wow, God really strengthened my faith that afternoon and having that specific encounter at camp with that staffer. In light of the fact that I was going to, in just a few days, share this sermon with this specific message, I thought, boy, that's cool that God gave me such a great example of how to use the gospel glove with a person, with any person may meet. If you happen to have a gospel glove, and kids or anybody can go home and paint your gloves now, I think that'd be a great idea too. But anyway, I thought, That was just so neat the way God allowed that to happen in my life, and I'm just humbly thankful for that. It just validated what he'd been sharing with me the last several months as I was preparing for this sermon. I give all the glory to him. And at the same time, I thank you for your presence and time and attention this morning. Please close in a word of prayer with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for all the good things you give us to enjoy in life. We especially thank you for the gift of our salvation. With renewed hearts and minds, may we be renewed in our commitment to share the gospel with those who you bring into our lives. From this day forward, give us the wisdom and the power to play ball for you and your kingdom. And as we do this, may it always be done in humility and in your love. We thank you for hearing us. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.